ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
That world record, 20.88. They're stroke for stroke. Proud. Colombine. Proud world record. 20.88. Yes, record. New world record.
Christian Kolomeyev, 20.81. In the final events, we have our first world record.
That's the 50-meter freestyle at the Enhanced Games, where athletes are juicing, wearing illegal supersuits, and celebrating illegal world records. They're also making a lot of money. Australian Olympian James Magnusson was among those at the sporting science experiment. 42 athletes across three sports. One, inverted commas, world record fell. Did the event and concept gain life? Was this really about sport? Or is it just about flogging peptides? We're heading to Vegas to get a sense from the events. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Tom Deason is the chief sports writer with the Sydney Morning Herald. He's in Vegas for the Enhanced Games. Tom, this was pitched as humans pushing the boundaries of what's possible. The critics are deeply worried about the health aspect of things. Those selling the event say, you know, world records were in danger, albeit non-ratified. We saw one of those arguably taken down, depending on how you sort of define that. Did you see this thing as a success, as a failure, somewhere in between? What did you make of it all?
I actually thought it was quite underwhelming, to be honest. I, you know, had grand hopes and thought it might be, as we were promised, yeah, sport on a very different level. But like, there was great theatre and it was cool having all three venues in the one space. But yeah, in terms of performances and what it actually delivered, and quite frankly, there was a lot of the crowd who weren't there at times. So like a cool spectacle to be at and an interesting story. But yeah, I'm not sure it's got legs.
Controversial Australian James Magnusson was the first athlete to sign up to this event.
This is a special suit. There'll only ever be one first enhanced athlete, and that's me. So to commemorate that occasion, I'm going to be the only one in a gold suit. I feel pretty special. Now I've got to swim fast.
He had two events. He finished last in both. You would have spoken to him potentially after he competed. What was his sort of, I guess, take on how he found the event as a competitor?
I wish we could have spoken to him. He was supposed to come through a mix zone, and Enhanced Games officials said that he wouldn't be doing that because they were doing some awards presentations on stage. And as we speak, the Killers are about to play on there, and I think James will be dancing to that on stage. So yet to hear from the missile. But look, obviously, look, he looked pretty happy from afar. He spoke to his wife, Rose, after it all, and clearly he's been brought into this with a financial incentive, and realistically, given his age and profile and the fact he hasn't been swimming a lot since he retired, it's probably not unsurprising as well, given the times he posted last year during the documentary as well. But I think he pockets about $140,000 tonight, Australian, in prize money, plus a nice little retainer from Enhanced Games, so he's pretty happy, and I think he'll be partying along into the Vegas night.
We'll have more on the financial aspect in just a moment. I just wonder, do you think Australian sports fans will see him as a drug cheat, and do you think he cares?
I don't think he cares is the first thing. I think he knows, as he said in an interview with yours truly the other day, that he knows where his bread is buttered now. I think there is also a misconception around some of this stuff. The stuff James is taking, there are a lot of Australians who are prescribed it from doctors as well, and he would argue that it is relatively low doses. And it's not for a year straight that he's taking these. I believe it's for about 8 to 10 weeks, and he won't take them thereafter. So, I mean, what he has achieved in the pool, he would argue, is a completely different chapter of his life, like all the athletes here, and I understand that. But I think he sleeps pretty easy at night with this whole situation.
Today is a celebration for me. I've been a part of this for 2 years. It felt like a pipe dream at times. People questioned me, people insulted me. But now we're here. It's real. There's other athletes. I'm going to race. There's a crowd. I can't wait.
As you mentioned, there's massive amounts of money at stake. Magnusson won a huge amount of cash for a couple of last place finishes. I mean, a gold medal at the last Olympics earned Australian athletes $20,000 Australian. We saw American Hunter Armstrong, you know, he was clear about his financial motivations.
I had some financial problems after Paris. So it was truly a decision of, do I want to retire and start my normal life, or do I really want to stand on that Olympic stage on home soil? And the Enhanced truly sort of saved me here.
He competed as a clean athlete and won $250,000 US. It's not a great advertisement, I suppose, for the lack of money in competitive swimming. Is it kind of an interesting thread to this?
Yeah, definitely. I think there is legs in that. I know for a fact that there are clean Australian athletes who are watching this very closely, particularly the Hunter Armstrong situation. He obviously competed tonight and said afterwards that he still wants to compete for America at the LA Olympics.
I have so much more to give to this sport, and Enhanced was able to put me in a position where I can still compete and push forward to LA.
Now, World Aquatics have put in a bylaw which would indicate that he probably wouldn't be allowed to do that, but I think he's going to take them to court. He's going to really try and push hard, because currently he's been tested 11 times since he joined the Enhanced Games. I think about 7 times here in Vegas. The drug testers are literally following him to make sure that he's not taking what the other guys are. So his argument is, if he's staying in a testing pool like Fred Kerley, who won the 100-metre sprint, why can't they go back and compete at the Olympics?
Fred Kerley is one who talked a big game. He was making noises about breaking Usain Bolt's record of 9.58 for the 100. He was well adrift of that, just a shade under 10 seconds.
Kerley is going to take it, and Kerley's going to come in with a time of 9.98.
Did you get the sense that it was kind of totemic of the event? A lot of talk, but maybe not a lot of follow through?
Yeah, I think obviously when it was reported that Fred Kerley was not going to be taking performance-enhancing substances, that Usain Bolt's 9.58 was very, very safe. Look, I mean, I think he did a 9.93 in the heats, which is a pretty good time, pretty much close to the best this year. So he's in good form, but I mean, there was a couple of false starts in the final there as well, which probably halted his momentum at a time which probably doesn't reflect what he can do. So yeah, a lot of talk. There was a lot of trash talk afterwards as well, given that he's a clean athlete and he's beaten guys who have taken performance-enhancing substances.
Man, they got to do better than that. They need to train a little harder, get on that a little bit more, and go a little harder some more.
But if we're being brutally honest, the depth of athlete at these games is pretty mediocre.
You've covered an Olympic Games. I'm just interested, how did you find the spectacle, the facility, the broadcast, all of the things that you would have seen at elite level competition at various events around the world compared to what you saw in Vegas today?
I think not having a huge crowd made a massive difference. It was noticeable that, like, it was a cool day, and the crowd in itself was very interesting. You had a lot of young influencers, a very attractive group of people wandering around the place, filming each other, a lot of social media content, drinking free beer, wine, food. Like, it was not what you would get at an Olympic setting for sure, but I think the crowd was a miss from them. Obviously, the venue was nothing like we've ever seen before, and that was quite entertaining.
This is a different level. Have a look at this. We're in a 5-star resort. We've got the most epic complex ever built for sports, and we had this vision a couple of years ago, and it's coming to fruition today.
But did I feel compelled to want to come back? Probably not. Maybe that was because of the athletic performance, and I'm a bit of a purist and I like seeing fast times, and we didn't get that. But hats off to them for trying something different. And if it means that maybe traditional sports can adapt or not be stagnant, I think that's a good thing.
The other Australian influence on this story isn't a competitor, but it's someone who was involved in founding the whole thing, Aaron D'Souza. He sold the dream to these athletes, but it seems clear that the heart of this business isn't so much the sport, but the selling of the treatments that underpin the sort of athletically illegal pursuits. Is it fair for me to sort of look at this as just a giant sort of marketing stunt for things like peptides and stuff? Like, when you go onto the website, the first thing that comes up for the Enhanced Games isn't necessarily the actual competition that we've just all watched from Vegas. It's how to get around your sort of treatment without wanting to sort of do advertising for them.
100%. This is a shopfront window for selling these pharmaceuticals and performance-enhancing drugs to the masses, and they've made no secret of wanting to do that.
You said Cody Miller had his personal best. He said it when? Prior to today?
Well, back 8 years.
Okay. So if you can set a personal best after taking 8 years off, that's the epitome of the Enhanced Games.
Yeah, I think, and that's the appeal, certainly. And it's not just racing, but, you know, we're selling product as well, and that's a big part of it.
Yes, we're seeing the sport tonight, and people will watch it and think, oh, is this just the evolution of sport? Well, it's not really, because they're trying to sell you something. And at what cost, how deep that will go, and how many young individuals will be watching tonight and think, I want to run like, you know, the guys there and swim like the guys there, and women as well, which is obviously important too. So, yeah, I just... You're dead right. Like, there is a broader piece at play, and yeah, you have to push through some of the spin, like the jibber that we heard from the Enhanced Games CEO on the deck there talking about it. We're going to change the world, and we're the best in the world.
We are so happy for everything that we as a company can provide to Christian, and see how such a dedication of an athlete really helps change his life for the better. And I'm just so proud of every other athlete that's been participating here tonight.
That's just not the case. Like, and that 50-meter freestyle quote world record is a bit of a joke because it was done in a super suit, which are banned, and performance-enhancing drugs. So I think Cam McAvoy sleeps pretty easy tonight as well.
The Kool-Aid consumption was certainly high from those on the broadcast and the various stakeholders that you sort of speak to there. On the ground, I guess you would have sort of seen the sort of crowd who's coming through who are all, you know, hand-picked to be there. Do you get the sense from everyone there that they actually believe in what is going on and what they're trying to sell? Or is it just all sizzle, no steak?
It's a great question. Like, they've obviously paid for people to be here. It's not people coming on their free will. But I do believe that there are a lot of people in that sphere, that longevity space, who believe that it is the future and it is increasingly important. And there's a lot of investors here who would argue that that is the next foray into human evolution, if you will, to get a bit broad.
And you know, it really helps because they're endeavoring to do performance-enhancing drugs. And doing that, you want to be safe and you want to make sure the dose is correct. So having this feedback loop of the high-fidelity measurement helps them dial in for the performance goals.
Definitely not a sport crowd. The amount of people who were filming themselves and had camera crews walking around and posting stuff to their hundreds of thousands of Instagram followers was quite a watch.
No, and it's just the beginning, you know? Like, I think we've seen all of us over this weekend, over the last 72 hours, the Enhanced Games have dominated the internet. We arrived in mainstream culture. We are here to stay.
The corporates as well was not like you would see at an Olympic meet as well. So, yeah, like, it'll probably, it definitely will die down, but they're talking about coming back next year, and I just don't know what shape it looks, but I think the most interesting part from our perspective is how many clean athletes will try and come over and compete for that prize money, because that money is real and life-changing.
How much money did they spend on this event? Do you know that, or is that sort of, are they trying to intentionally keep that, opaque?
Well, the venue was 70 million Australian, so that's a starting point before you touch anything else. I would estimate in the hundreds of millions for this event, which is a significant outlay as well, but they believe that they're going to get a return on investment because obviously they're trying to sell you something. And I think as well in the broadcast, that wasn't hidden, was it? From what I've gathered and hearing some feedback around, that it felt like a 6-hour long ad in some respects.
It's helping everything. I feel great every day. Weightlifting's fun again. It's just, it's awesome.
That was certainly the experience from Sydney. That's going to be an awful lot of peptides to sell. Do you think just finally what you witnessed today was sport?
Elements of it were. I think the guys and women who weren't doping was great. I think Fred Kerley running on the track was sport, and I've watched 100 final in Paris and Noah Lyles, and I feel like that was a similar experience to a certain extent, but the swimming was definitely not. I think those super suits made an enormous difference, and I don't think we could take that seriously.
Tom Decent, go and enjoy the Killers. Appreciate your time, man.
I will, anytime.
Headlines. Tremendously sad news with Neil Danaher dying aged 65 as a consequence of motor neuron disease. The Melbourne Football Club legend has campaigned tirelessly to fight MND since his diagnosis in 2013. The centrepiece of that is the annual King's Birthday Big Freeze game, raising more than $115 million in the process so far.
It might get me, but I'm a fighter. Live with hope. Have a strong vision. Where you're going, my vision, closed off is the world without MND. I'll get there. I might be 6 foot under, but we'll get there. Thanks for listening.
News has just dropped as we go to air. So for a full breakdown, hit the ABC Sport website. Listen to ABC AFL Daily. The team is going in depth on a man who has redefined bravery in the face of adversity. The latest instalment of the Big Freeze is in 2 weeks' time, as it promises to be an emotional game as Melbourne play Collingwood at the MCG. The NRL is on the search for a new chief executive, with Andrew Abdo quitting the post after 6 years in the role. He will take over the same job with Tennis Australia in July. Peter Vlandis, the ARLC chair, will take over the NRL role in the interim, of course. A rough Canadian Grand Prix for Oscar Piastri. Starting from fourth on the grid, it became clear in the formation lap that the McLaren team's choice to use intermediate tyres in the expectation of rain was an error. He boxed early, got on the fast slicks, but was already stuck in the pack. He crashed into Alex Albon trying to make some progress. Ultimately, he finished 11th. Kimi Antonelli won again from Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen. And Tottenham beat Everton 1-0 to narrowly avoid relegation from the Premier League. Arsenal celebrated its title with a 2-1 victory away at Crystal Palace. Champions League final is next up for the Gunners. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Thanks to the Enhanced Games and the AFL Players Association for the extra audio used in this episode.